We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
I don't know that, but the people who are in this studio before us, they must be deaf or something. Matt and I are innocently getting ready here to do the opening for the show, and we turn on the sound, do the opening that you're just enjoying at this moment, and it's like it's blaring.
It's loud.
It's like, as the old, the joke was, it's not just 10, it's 11. It's turned up to 11. Wow.
Every time we're in here. So I don't know. I don't know who's in here before us, but.
I don't know. But wow. They obviously have some kind of hearing issue. This is, by the way, Pastor Jolly, John Lukomsky, and with me,
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
And this is
Wrestling with the Basics.
Please bear with me if I seem a little more solemn, somber today, and not quite as enthusiastic as I usually am. We had. And Matt appreciates this because Matt actually used to work together. We used to work together there at Trinity. And did we mention the names of the churches? We didn't. We should mention that,
too. No, yeah, we might as well.
I'm pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois, and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois.
And I'm just pastor at one church, like John over here.
When you get older, they'll be able to let you have two.
I'm at Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And we really want to mention those churches because we come here by their courtesy. They actually foot the bill. Campview doesn't pay us a diddly squat to be here. Why would they? We're just glad to be here. But anyway, so thank you, Ascension and Trinity and St. Paul, for letting us have the time to do this. But anyway, Matt and I used to work together. And you remember Charles Fisher, don't you?
Yes,
Matt?
Yeah, from my vicarage year with you and working together. Yeah, definitely.
And just a saint. I mean, he is what you would see in the dictionary, pictured by saint, faithful man. Anytime you needed anything done, he was there, ready to help. There, Sunday in and Sunday out. In fact, that's how we knew something had gone wrong, because a week ago Sunday, he wasn't there. And we actually thought that maybe he had gone up to visit a dear friend, another member who was in the hospital, who had actually gone in for emergency surgery Saturday night. And we were all concerned about this dear friend, Rufus Resba. And we thought, well, maybe he ran up there because he knew Rufus's family was out of town. But his sister and his nephew, they were concerned. So they left church to go to his house. And right after services were over, I got the phone call telling me that they had found Charles dead. And he was only 75 years old, and now that I'm 62, that's not old at all. There was maybe when I was your age, Matt, 75 seemed like an old age. But so we're just kind of blown away. We're blown away. It's kind of a shock. A great thing for Charles, because I think Charles lived in fear that he might have to have the kind of physical struggles his father had. His father was ill for quite some time. His mother, too, particularly at the end, really had some struggles, Charles and Dorothy. Or Dorothy and Frank, I'm sorry. But whatever, God gave him a blessing, although it just leaves an emptiness for all the rest of us. It's just such a shock. However, here's what I want to share with you, Matt. Do you believe that people can give us messages from the dead?
From the dead? I don't know. You think Charles is up to something?
Well, I tell you what, I don't think there are messages from the dead, but I think this reflects...
Certainly from the Lord.
From the Lord, yeah. The Lord does speak to us from the dead and from the living. And Charles, I think, also speaks to us from the faith that had sustained him in his life. So we're picking out hymns. This is part of the routine. And the family gave me Amazing Grace, Rock of Ages, wonderful hymns used often at funerals. And then the nephew says to me, he says, you know, when Dr. Del Meyer was preaching, because this is Trinity's 150th anniversary year, by the way. So we had the president of the seminary come and speak to us back in April. For our first of our 150th services. Anyway, excuse me, I got to do this on myself.
Holy!
No, not that one.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea.
have a point.
Thank you.
But the build-up's been a lot of fun. This is
great. For the listener.
You're painting a picture for us.
I'm painting a picture. So anyway, he said, you know, Dr. Meyer talked about this hymn. In fact, Dr. Meyer actually quoted it by memory from German.
He's just showing off
just
now.
Showing off.
Yeah, the president of the seminary.
But he said, you know, Charles really, really liked that hymn. I'm not even sure what the number of the hymn is, but he really liked the way that Dr. Meyer had explicated that hymn. And luckily, we record all of the messages. Dr. Meyer's message was so long, by the way, we had to break it into half in order to get it on the web because our web server wouldn't take it as a whole. But anyway, so I looked it up and I listened to it. It was the very first thing on the section that I had loaded. And here it is. It's hymn 708, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. And what made me kind of tear up is here's the last verse. Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abraham's bosom. Could you read it, Matt? I'm
sure.
Sorry.
Yeah. Let's see here. Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abram's bosom, bear me home, that I may die unfearingly, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy shall see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. Yeah, beautiful words.
So, yeah. And who would have thought how appropriate those words would be? So, Charles, thank you. We thank the Lord for the faith that he gave you, and thank you for your witness to that faith in your life and your activity. And indeed, thank you for reminding us through the words of this hymn that we're going to see again, Charles. And I look forward to visiting with you and your mom and your dad and, of course, all the other beloved people who have departed this life in the congregation there at Trinity and St. Paul.
How long did you serve as Charles' pastor? For many years you've been there.
37 years.
That's a long time. 37
years. Yeah. 37 years. So he was just a young man like you when I started there. I hope you have. We continue now our favorite Bible passages, and I hope you got something good for me. I need something good, Matt.
Oh, we sure do today.
Right.
We sure do. And again, I think the Lord speaks certainly and speaks through his word here in our best love passage number three. So we're continuing that countdown. We're continuing that countdown of best love passages. Just using the passages that the people of the congregation I serve at chosen as their favorite. But I would imagine if we did this same survey in Darmstadt and New Athens or in any number of congregations, you'd probably have a lot of the same passages, these beloved passages that give us comfort in time like this, that hold out the promises of God for us in life and in death, and as that hymn pointed out, even at Christ's return on the last day.
And I would acknowledge, now actually some of the ones that you've had, I don't know that I would have chosen in my top 10, but this one would have been way up there. I'm not sure if it would have been number one, but probably number two, or as it is in this case, number three.
Yeah. And there's been a couple people said, you know, in my funeral pastor, be sure to include this one.
Yeah.
Certainly appropriate, especially as we remember Charles and his family now, too. Looking at this passage here, it really serves as sort of the grand finale, the grand crescendo in God's symphony of grace here, as some have said.
Music analogies.
Isn't that beautiful?
Okay.
This grand finale, this crescendo in the book of Romans, and particularly in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is one of those chapters of the Bible that, you know, we should almost strive to commit to memory, just theologically packed, but just beautiful promises as well. So one of the high points that Paul builds up to in this chapter comes in verse 35, where he asks us some questions, but he leaves these questions unanswered. It's kind of interesting, but go ahead if you want to read verse 35.
Okay. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Do you want me to read the next verse, too?
That's good. I'll just stop there. But, okay. You know, at this point, left unanswered, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then lists off this litany of things, you know, and bad things.
Oh, yeah.
Sufferings that we think perhaps maybe they would separate us.
Well, and for us who are mourning Charles, this is the tribulation.
Yeah.
This is the distress. Oh. Yes.
But, you know, he leaves it unanswered, and it almost forces us as readers and listeners to say, no, 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 Paul, no, no, nothing can separate us. It forces us to almost answer the question ourselves, yep. which I think is pretty neat. It involves us. No, Paul, no, nothing can. And then finally, we get to the grand finale, and here's what was our best love passage number 3, verses 38 and 39.
Oh, no, wait a second. I'm not going to let you do that. We have to read verse 36.
Well, that wasn't one of our best love ones.
I'm sorry. Well, 35 wasn't either, was it?
Well, no.
No, okay.
Well, because, you got me there.
Well, see, it's just, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, I want to read that because... Yeah, what we're experiencing now with Charles is not outside the frame of Christian experience. In fact, it is part of Christian experience that we would have tribulation or distress, persecution. Well, I don't really have too much famine, as you can tell from looking at me, and thank God I got my clothes on. But no, I wanted to read that passage because I think we hear these words and we say, well, no, we shouldn't have these things. We're Christians. God is for us. Didn't Paul say something? I think he says that at the beginning of the chapter. If God's for us, who can be against us? Doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, so what's the business here? You told me God's for me, and now you're telling me, but yeah, that's it. We're being killed all the day long. That's what life of Christianity is. What happened to Charles is what's happening to all of us, and it culminates just the way it does for Charles. So I'm sorry.
Yes.
I just wanted to throw that in.
No, and you're right, and Paul, here you're quoting the Old Testament scriptures again, too, as he so often does,
yeah.
That this is an experience, as you pointed out, common to God's people in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, and today.
Yeah. Well, see, because I'm thinking people would say, he shouldn't have died. He was this fine man who went to church every week, great Christian. Why should he? Well, of course he's going to die. We're all going to die.
Yeah. Unless Christ returns first, you're
That's
exactly
right.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for pointing that out. And okay, you're ready for verses 38 and 39.
Well, now, why are we doing verse 37? What is it? I know. So who divided this stuff up? That's what I want to know. Why wasn't 37 included in this?
Go ahead and read 37.
Well, because it answers the question.
Okay, go ahead and
read. The question is, what? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Yes.
Shall these
yes.
things separate us? And the answer is, no.
No.
So
the answer he leaves unanswered initially.
Yeah.
Paul answers himself. Okay,
go ahead. In fact, he says, for in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Okay.
So no, Charles's death is not the end of things, nor is my distress over that death. No. All right, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can I now read the passage?
Please.
Will you let me finally read the passage?
All right, verses 37 and 38.
Number 3, right?
Number 3.
Favorite, number 3. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you. Yeah. Pretty beautiful words.
Oh, it is. It's
yeah.
a perfect passage.
Beautiful words.
For me today, yeah.
And they all hang, all those verses you point out hang together. Yeah, most definitely. But here's sort of the climax here is Paul goes on with this list of these different things, the whole gamut, everything, you know, neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, present nor things to come, height nor depth. And I like how, especially in this context of remembering Charles, you know, neither life nor
death.
Oh, what a blessing. And what a comfort for us to know that you know, Charles isn't separated from the love of Christ. In fact, he's in Christ's nearer presence now. But also that comfort for survivors, for you included, that Charles' death, the death of our loved ones, no, that doesn't separate us from the love of Christ. No, Christ still loves us too and is with us even in the midst of mourning and grief. And so we don't mourn as those who have no hope, but we mourn as people who are still loved by Christ. Connected to him.
Yeah, I like that thought, man. Thank you. Yeah, so it's not that we don't mourn, but we mourn as those who are loved by Christ, who are not separated by Christ.
Yeah.
Separated from Charles temporarily.
Yeah,
great. But not separated from Christ.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And I just love that. I mean, nothing could separate us. And this list of things. And it's just, it's difficult to overemphasize the truth of those words.
Yeah.
That there's absolutely, positively nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nada. That can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. But then, of course, we have this promise, and guess what? You know, Satan comes along, yep. And as is so often the case, he tries to whisper doubts into our ears, questioning this promise from God.
Oh, you know, God, sometimes he doesn't just whisper, he shouts.
He shouts it, sorts of ways, right? And you know, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Well, what about, you know, fill in the blank, whatever the case might be.
What about when you lose a dear friend?
What about when you lose that dear friend? What about death? Okay. You know, does Paul really know what he's talking about here?
Yeah, now you're getting personal.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Because that's the thing.
Well, yeah.
What about when I die?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, exactly. Yeah. What about my own death? You know, what about extremes, for instance? You know, we think about the extremes here on this earth. We think about heights, literally.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Mount Everest, the tallest peak, almost 30,000 feet. You know, is the love of God extend there? Think about the lowest point on this earth, the Mariana Trench, 36,000 feet below sea level. You know, deep, deep darkness. Is God's love extend even there? We think about all those extremes, and I think that's part of Paul's point here is with these extremes of life and death and powers and height and depth, he's really highlighting that God's love extends to those extremes in this world and in this life, but they also extend to everything in between. You know, the extremes and everything in between. Again, just that point that nothing can separate us from that love of Christ. Psalm 139, I think, is one place that just kind of poetically,
right,
beautifully puts it, you know, says the same thing, but in a more poetic way, perhaps. It says, verse 7, "Where shall we go from your spirit? Where shall we flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take to the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand shall hold me." So again, that beautiful promise of God's presence, and as we see in Romans, God's love that extends to the extremes, everywhere. So beautiful. And, you know, and I think of even extending the extremes of life, you know, that God's love is there even at the beginning of life in the womb. You know, you are there, Lord, at the time of death, wherever that may be, whether alone or surrounded by family and friends, you are there. Your love is there.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
yes.
I will not fear thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Yeah. So he's there as well. Yeah.
God's love extends to the extremes everywhere. So no, Satan. Yes. Paul's right. God's love is everywhere. Nothing can separate us. Another temptation, maybe. Satan causes us to wonder, and this speaks to what you brought up too. You know, what about bad times? Nothing can separate us from God's love. What about when there is suffering? And we think of the suffering in our world and in our nation, you know, terrorism and the destruction of things like abortion. And we might wonder, well, where is that love of God during those times? Or we think of our personal lives. We think about the stress of debt or the strain of a marriage that's hurting or unexpected illness or an unexpected death. And we think, well, where is the love of God here? But Paul here again, he reminds us, as you pointed out, that in bad times, no, the suffering and bad times don't somehow separate us from God's love. God doesn't abandon us during those bad times. In fact, it's just the opposite, according to Paul.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's ironic because we want the good times, we want the blessings, but there are no promises about Christ's presence during the good times, during the blessings. But there are repeated promises that when we are weak, when we are struggling, that he is there. There is no doubt. He's very clear that those are the times when you don't have any questions about it because he promises he'll be with us. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, who says separates from love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. And again,
nothing.
No.
Yeah,
Nothing. And as we read these words too, I think what I find as a comfort is Paul's just not blowing smoke. Okay. He's not just saying this from some ivory tower, you know, from the world.
I just never heard of anything
blowing smoke.
Suggest that Paul was blowing smoke, but okay.
He's a guy who is familiar with what he's talking about.
I know where you're going.
He experienced tribulation and persecution and famine and hunger.
Shipwrecked and beatings and snakes biting him.
And yet he still testifies, no, in all those things, I wasn't separated from the love of Christ, and neither are you. And the reason that Paul can say this with such confidence isn't just because he experienced it, but because he knows that someone else experienced suffering for his sake.
Okay, yep.
Jesus Christ, right? Who was whipped and beaten and spat upon and crucified. And if that wasn't enough, also bore the sins of the world, including Paul's sins and our sins.
And at one point thought he was separated.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
So exactly. Even if you're feeling that, you're not separated from the love of Christ, because that is the love of Christ.
Yes.
He understands that too.
And I think too, in Jesus' death, we see that death and suffering, that doesn't have the last word.
Yeah.
That's not the end. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. Death couldn't even keep him down. And so in our lives, suffering and death doesn't have the last word in our life either. It doesn't have the last word in Charles' life, as that hymn points out. No, in Abraham's bosom we're carried as those who have faith in Christ. And on the last day, these bodies raised. No, suffering and death isn't the last word. It wasn't the last word for Jesus Christ. And because it wasn't the last word for him, it's not the last word for us who believe in him either.
And you just made me realize, see, we think the program is to be in Christ means to be happy and not have any problems or trials. But I think Jesus was pretty frank. He said, take up your cross and follow me. So in this world, to be with Christ is to experience all of those things. As he said, daily we are being killed. So to have these things does not distance you from Christ, but actually makes you closer to him. But thank you for reminding us. That's why it's such a good thing to be with Christ, because even though we will die with him, we will most certainly be united in a resurrection like this.
Yeah, united.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the suffering and the trials, everybody gets that. No one's going to avoid that. But that's why it's really great to know we're not being separated from the love of Christ, because the love of Christ in the end will change all of those things.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. You know, and then the one other thing I think that the devil really tries to throw in our face, you know, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Well, what about your own sinfulness?
What
about your own sin?
Yep.
And, you know, when we think about our sins, and maybe we want to think of whatever we consider to be the worst sin we've ever committed, the worst thing we've ever thought or said or done, whatever we think that is, whatever that is, whatever you might be thinking of right now, you know, Satan would love for us to think that separates you from God's love.
Particularly my doubt about the fact that God is with me.
Yeah, and maybe your doubt of that changes it. Maybe God really isn't
now that
with
I'm
you
doubting
and loving
him,
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And no, that's not the case at all. Our sin does not make us unlovable, you know, because we have a loving, gracious God. You know, thanks be to him, an incredible love. So again, even if we try to separate ourselves from God's love, perhaps, or doubt his love, that doesn't separate us. No, he just keeps right on loving us. Nothing can separate us. And I hope that's the lesson and the message our hearers take away from them today, too.
It was a good message for me, Matt.
Well, thanks.
I thank the Lord for leading you to have that subject for this particular Saturday.
Yeah, you bet. So, yeah, again, not extremes, not bad times, not the death of a loved one, not our own death even, not our sin. Nothing can separate us from that love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And it doesn't get any better than that, does it, Matt?
Yeah.
Again, thank you for your words of comfort, and we hope that they've also been a comfort to our listeners. And what was that? What can separate us from the love of God?
Nothing, absolutely nothing.